Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Liquid IV. Proper functional hydration is essential, and Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. With just one stick, you can hydrate real life two times faster than water alone. Plus, get essential vitamins and three times the electrolytes as leading sports drinks. Liquid IV comes in 12 delicious, refreshing flavors to keep your hydration routine exciting. I mean, we're talking sea berry, strawberry lemonade, pina colada, tropical punch, or if you're like me, Concord grape and lemon lime. Oh, man, that is my jam. Look, it's real easy. It's real convenient. You get a stick, you open it up, and you pour it in some water, and then you mix it, and then boom, you have a delicious, refreshing, hydrating drink. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you two times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Contains five essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. And it's made with quality ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use promo code BALLERS at checkout. That's 20% off anything when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BALLERS at liquidiv.com.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Rickety pow pow, rickety brown cow, kabloomy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That felt good on this end.
I liked it.
You've been reading some Seuss over there?
I mean,
that was one of our go-to books, the Mr. Brown Hears a Sound or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. How Now, Brown Cow?
No.
I mean, that's the one that I went with. How Now, Brown Cow?
Oh, it's Mr. Brown. It's like thunder goes boom boom or something like that.
Look,
but it was great. It was
a lot of people don't understand this about life. Scatting reveals a lot of the inner recesses of your memory.
Yes.
And so it will bring, in fact, some of the highest, most heralded Harvard graduate psychologists will ask their patients, you know, these therapists will ask their patients to scat to kind of bring up a lot of the old memories of their childhood and help heal.
The original line in Forrest Gump was you can learn a lot about a person from his scat, but then they thought that might be confusing,
right?
You know, on the
it's like the it's like
level.
The ink blot test,
right?
The what?
Yeah, oh yeah. What are those things called?
Rorschach.
Yeah, same guy did it,
and that's what it is. It's actually it's not ink. It's Worcestershire sauce.
You can learn a lot about a person if they can say Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to episode 197 of the Spitballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason with you. Al Borland pulling the levers. You got the judge back there spinning the knobs. And then there's Josh, and he's just sitting there. Would you rather life advice and a draft on today's show, drafting the worst things to find in your food at a restaurant? So that will be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more about the show on Twitter at SpitballersPod, the website SpitballersPod.com. Thank you to so many supporting the show over on Patreon. We appreciate you. And for following the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you listen. And for telling your friends about, you know, this show. And
Spitballers is a community thing. It's more fun with friends.
Don't hoard happiness.
That's right. Give happiness and share happiness and do drafts with your friends.
Right. Yeah. Good advice, Jason. Let's do some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
All right. Ernesto from Patreon says, would you rather look 10 years older from the neck up or 10 years older from the neck down?
Oh, man.
Oh.
Which I...
Where is the vanity?
When I saw this question, it perplexed me immediately.
Oh, man.
Well, now I plan on losing a lot of weight in the next 10 years. So okay. If I look 10 years, so I'm going to look from the waist down. I should look way better 10 years
from
now.
You're fast forwarding to your post-workout yeah, body?
I'm skipping 10 years of hard
workout. I don't know if you want to see that body.
No. I thought the same thing about 10 years ago.
Now, 10 years ago, if this body had shown up, would you?
Oh, I should have picked face. I should have picked face a decade ago.
I mean, this is tough because I think I am going to take 10 years older from the neck up. I already know, like, we like playing sports and pickleball and doing things. And I already know that, like, the difference of me right now, I'm 38 years old, and what my body felt like at 28 years old tells me that there's a chance.
It's just look.
Oh, that's true.
This is only aesthetics.
It's not function.
Otherwise, it would be a home run. You would have to take neck up.
Yes.
Because if you're telling me that I am a decade older in all my joints, all my muscles, all that, then
this is just aesthetics.
This is just when you're looking in the mirror. Would you rather see the more wrinkles, more gray hair?
Yeah, wrinkles where? See, wrinkles where? That's a Dr. Seuss book.
Here's the thing that
where's
is
some droop droop.
He was droopy down below. He was droopy. Watch it go. All right, go ahead.
It's really not fair how, you know, men age much. It's much kinder to men. You know what I mean? Like George Clooney might look better now than he did when he was 20.
There's this, the Silver Fox situation.
I can't think of any examples where, like, a 6-year-old woman was like, I like how I look now more than I did when I was 20.
There's certainly some women who have aged into their
aged
face.
Gracefully, wonderfully, for sure. But generally speaking, I feel like men get away with the wrinkles. You know what I mean? Like, men get away with the gray. Men, you know,
there could be an advantage, genuinely, to the 10 years older face.
Tell me what that would
be. Yeah, yeah, hit me.
No, I'm amplifying what you're saying. Where like a lot of women, they like the look of kind of a rugged older
salt and pepper.
Yeah, I mean, like that's a thing. Like you said, George Clooney. There are, I mean, him 10 years ago is probably better, but.
Now, okay, maybe. So
I just don't know what's going to look. Nothing's going to look better neck down. That's all I'm saying. It's all going to look worse.
But it's here's the thing. Like, everyone sees your face every interaction. But neck down, I mean, I aside from the old, get some
the
turkey.
Jowls.
You know, going on in the turkey neck. Like, most people aren't going to see you shirt off aside from your significant other. Or you're at the beach. Or you're super shredded and you just don't wear a shirt.
Now, if no one can tell that this thing has happened to you, that's a bad sign, right? That means things aren't going the right way for you. Like,
no, that's a great sign. If no one can, if you look 10 years older and nothing has changed.
Well, I'm just saying, like, shouldn't somebody be able to tell? Like, wouldn't it indict the non-aged part of your body if it matched?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, if I was at the beach and I was shirt off, it's like, oh man, that guy's face looks a lot younger than his body. I mean, we don't have a lot of experience seeing this out in the real world.
Yeah, this isn't very often.
But I get what Mike's saying.
You do, because people will take 10 years off their face with some science
and
some
magic.
That's
what they think they're doing.
Right. Instead, they're adding.
Some people do. And some people do it just fine. And you never know.
If I don't know.
You did it
right.
Then they did a great job.
And then they didn't do it.
Yes.
Yeah. I can cover up my body. I know that I've practiced this a lot.
There's sheets big enough.
There are sheets
big
enough.
Oh, my gosh, relentless son of a
color,
gun.
The color spectrum that works for me is black.
They started making clothes out of that? You know that the blackest of black color?
Ooh,
where
yeah.
Where it absorbs all light. Have you ever seen this paint?
Oh yeah, I've seen the like TikToks.
Like, it's absolutely absurd where someone painted an entire room with this shade of black. It is like,
yeah, it's called the instant heat stroke Pro Plus athletic
but
wear.
But do you vanish if you had a shirt of that color?
Well, the vanity thing is funny as a discussion point in general, because Mike and I are relentlessly giving Jason and Al Borland a hard time when we play. I mean, Arizona, it's very hot. The sun, it beats down on you. It's boiling hot, and yet these two gentlemen will accept that extra 20 degrees of pain to go out there and wear black.
What color is your shirt today, Jason?
It's black.
Now,
what color? You should look at my closet. Okay, my closet is 100% black shirts. I don't have another option, and I won't have another option till I lose weight, because the lighter colors are reflective. You see the shape.
Yeah, it reflects the sun away. Reflects, keeps you cooler.
Yeah, it reflects off all my body parts, all my jiggles. I don't want that exposure. So I'm going to continue hiding my body. I will keep this young face of mine.
Yeah, and just to I didn't want to finish the thought because I wasn't just calling you out. I was saying everybody's kind of got their thing like that, because when I was talking to Jeremy about it, because we were giving him grief about, like, dude, you literally had heat stroke because you wore, like, black clothes. Then we pointed out, like, Jason was wearing a tank top one day, and that's much cooler than wearing a white shirt.
Yep.
But I won't wear no tank top. I'm too self-conscious to wear a tank top. So we've all got these lines that we have set for ourselves, and we're willing to suffer for them.
It is amazing. I don't know if there's something deeper here. I got no problem wearing a tank top, but I can't wear a white shirt.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, it is. Because, like,
have you thought about, like, a bikini top?
I think I'm just going to start rocking. I think I'm going to start rocking skins.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Get a nice tan.
Which is like wearing a white shirt.
Yes, for a while. Yep.
All right, Lyle from Twitter. Would you rather poop out one butter knife or poop 1,000 liters of mayonnaise?
Okay.
So let's examine, as we do, but not too closely.
Is the mayonnaise digested? Like, or is it, like...
No.
This is like...
It's coming out mayonnaise.
So there's I'm going to get some natural protection on the bungee. Like, it won't
You think a mayonnaise protects your bungee?
Oh, well, you could use mayonnaise like lotion.
I'm saying that...
Well,
that
you could do a lot of things.
That expelling... Well, we got 264 gallons of mayonnaise. That's a lot.
That's what that is.
We just got the update from from the deucers.
Sending
out that level of mayonnaise is a lot different than sending out that level of acidic diarrhea.
Can we get a how many flushes is that going to be?
Oh yeah. Well, what is the average size of a toilet?
I mean, how many gallons of mayonnaise per flush?
Do some math back there.
Yeah.
I think you can get a gallon. A flush?
Can you?
Yeah, you can get it. You could get a gallon of mayonnaise.
So 264
down.
Flushes?
That's right.
That's a lot of work. Now, the butter knife, on the other hand, is a butter knife.
Yeah. Can you guarantee me that it's going out vertical and not horizontal?
Yes, I can. Yeah, I can absolutely guarantee you that, because it's impossible for it to go out any other way.
I mean, that's going to be painful, right?
Maybe. Is it coated?
No, it's not coated. And it's got a, you know, look, it's a butter knife, not a steak knife, but butter knives still have the little serrated.
It can cut.
Oh, absolutely. It's not going to be comfy, but it's over. It's done. How long? How much time?
Can't flush the butter knife.
That's true. You got to dig it out.
Yeah.
How much time would it take to have 1,000 liters expelled?
That's a long time.
And how much time would it take for you to heal from your serrated bungee?
I think the truth is, no matter how much time, I can't serrate my bungee. I've got to have the mayonnaise on this one.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's a day. I mean, you're definitely it's a day committed to the mayonnaise.
That's fine. I think it'll be done after that.
I got some weird kind of flu. I'm not sure what this is, but it looks like it'd be delicious on a sandwich.
I got a weird kind of flu.
You say, look, fam. This is going to sound weird, but I had to make a choice. It was either a butter knife.
It was the best foods morning. okay, Jeffrey from the website, would you rather get food poisoning monthly?
No.
Or always be followed by flies?
Oh, gosh. I hate flies much.
What do you do to try to, get rid of them?
I've tried. Like, I have one of those.
You got the sticky.
I've got, like, the bug trap that's supposed to... catch them. We have the candles, whatever.
They're probably after all the mayonnaise coming out your buggy.
Whatever the can. I don't know. I can't remember the scent.
Citronella or something?
Yeah. I wanted to say chamomile, but I knew that was incorrect. but like, it's supposed to keep, you know, mosquitoes and
flying
creatures.
If you keep doing chamomile, this is very nice for the flies. really restful.
I don't know, cardigan, something like
that. Yeah. So,
but nothing keeps them away because they're flies, and they just keep coming back, and their entire job when you're sitting on a patio is to bug the crap out of you and just
that's why they call them bugs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like they're flying around. It's like they're just poking you whenever they can.
Do you guys
hate them so much?
Because this is true of me, and I assume it's true of others, but I don't know if you live this or not. Are you self-conscious when a fly lands on you and won't leave you alone?
Well, like you smell?
Right. Like you think other people are like you're self-conscious of like when the fly
it's
won't
choosing
leave
me
one
over that garbage
alone.
Can.
And I've been, you know, I've been the one that won't leave alone. It's just choosing someone at random and it's attacking, but whenever a fly is constantly around one person, I don't care. Like I don't look at someone who's getting attacked by a fly over right. and over and over and think, oh, he must stink. But if that fly is on me and like I was swatted away and it comes back, I'm like, everyone thinks that I'm the dirty, foul, stinky man.
Your pig pen from
but,
the peanuts.
Yeah, exactly. But do you guys also have those thoughts when it happens to you?
I have never had that thought in my life.
Never. What
no,
about you, Andy?
I don't think so.
Oh, Spitwad, save me. Am I the only? Maybe it is a problem. Maybe I just am Pigpen. Oh,
yeah,
no.
But the other option is you get food poisoning monthly, and I'm on record. Like, throwing up is, I mean, if you promise me the food poisoning is southward bound, then
it's 1,000 liters of mayonnaise.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if it's 100% southward, I will choose that. Like, it's not a good time. But I can, anything over throwing up. I will do, when I'm in that moment, that
you
that,
fight it?
I will take every tablet and stay standing up and try everything I can do to fight off throwing up because it's a disaster to me.
It's funny because I think...
And some people don't mind.
I don't generally consider it food poisoning unless it is
that's,
vomit.
That's kind of how I feel too.
Like when I eat something and it just wrecks me and I've got just crazy diarrhea, I don't feel like I got food poisoning.
No, that's just fast food.
Food poisoning is going up north.
Right,
it's coming out the top. So I
was looking for a way out.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I'm taking the flies then.
But you're always right now, at but, all times, dude.
Once
would
a
you
month.
Become acclimated?
No, I don't think. Wait,
would
to
they
the
be,
flies?
Yeah, you know how like you can get floaters when you're seeing, and they say your brain adjusts. Could you get acclimated to the flies surrounding you?
I don't think you can.
I think you would because the human brain is amazing. You get acclimated to anything. You go to a farm and it smells like poop, and then. Eventually, the poop just doesn't smell anymore.
But look at the horse. The horse tail is constantly whipping
Ooh,
at those flies.
But it horse argument.
Oh, sure. No, but that's an argument in my favor. That
you have a tail?
That I don't. But the horse is not. That's involuntary. The horse is.
No, it's not.
Oh, the horse isn't slapping
itself. That's a weapon.
Itself. The horse is just.
It's a fly swatter.
It's a windshield wiper. You know what I mean? It's
well, you
just
think
going.
These are involuntary movements by the horse?
Yeah, so, I think the horse
what?
Isn't. The horse
no.
isn't thinking about
no,
it.
No, the horse is 100% doing what it can, but it can't use its hands. It's got hooves.
I'm just saying, it's like blinking. You don't think about blinking. The horse isn't like a fly is there. I must move
yes,
it with my tail. Well, the horse's tail just going doing his own
but
thing.
But if there's no flies, does the tail move?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Well, if your eyes didn't dry out, would you not blink? Well, I mean, there's a purpose. It doesn't mean the blinking isn't involuntary.
So what is the purpose of the tail?
The flies!
Okay, so...
I'm just saying it's involuntary. The horse is not having an actual thought of a fly is at this spot. I need to go get him the way that you would do with a hand. Like, if a fly lands on my hand, I would go
yeah,
slap it.
Yeah, because
it's
you
not
can reach it. That's what I'm saying. The horse tail can only reach so much of the horse butt.
And the rest strong of, point.
Like,
I mean,
rest of the
I
body
see what you're
can
both
get
saying.
To.
I can't do the food poisoning every month.
No.
I can't. I mean, I guess
that's,
if
that's
you,
multiple days, you're knocked
if
out.
If you had it, well, let's call it a 24-hour bug, right? That's what everybody does with food poisoning. If you had it, would you build out a system to deal with it? It's like, okay, like, is there a countdown to it?
What if you don't know when it's going to happen?
Oh, that's worse.
I assume you don't know. There's no
No, there's no way. But the flies, they end your life as well.
I can't do the flies because of my self-conscious nature. I would feel like even if I am the cleanest, nicest smelling, I'm wearing, the fanciest cologne every day, smelling great, you love the scent, I will walk around feeling like everyone hates me and I'm the stinky guy with the flies.
I wonder if you could wear socks that are made of like the fly stick material.
Oh, the fly paper?
Yeah, the fly paper. So they're just...
So eventually you're just wearing like fly boots?
Well, you would replace it.
Yeah, but then they'd have babies.
Yeah, yeah. I will. I'm gonna throw up once a month, horrifically from food poisoning.
All right, hey Al, do we have time for another Would You Rather, or should we move on?
We got nothing but time.
That's
he
not
doesn't
true.
Care.
That's not true.
I don't know why we check with him.
Josephina from Patreon says, "Would you rather have to sew all your clothes or grow all your own food?"
Ooh, I've got an easy answer.
What?
I would.
What?
Yeah, I think. Growing your own food is incredible. And I,
oh, yeah, very romanticized.
My brother-in-law came over this weekend, and he's got this garden. He grows so much of his own food. And, you know,
and you were feeling
a couple houses,
jealous?
A couple houses ago, my wife and I, we had a lot more land, and we built this really nice vegetable garden and grew stuff, and it was so nice to have, you know, oh, whatever, cilantro and that's all we grew. tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever. I love that idea.
So you're a vegetarian now.
You get a sense of satisfaction for growing your own food? Like, well, does it taste better?
It says grow your own food.
Yes.
But...
You can't grow cows.
Yeah, I'm not growing a cow.
Well, you don't grow them, but you raise them.
Yeah, so
but if it's
all right,
you
we
have,
need clarity on this question
here. You don't need if grow your own food implies that you are responsible for all of your
That's
own
true.
Food.
So I have to slaughter the yes. cow.
Well, then I'm, if you want meat.
Then I'm sewing some clothes.
I just can't imagine how bad the first shirt I sew would look. Because it would take me a long time. I would have, because of the time investment, I would feel somewhat like I've accomplished something when I get to the end. And then when I go to put that thing on and my head don't fit through the hole or one sleeve is too long, I mean, it would just be...
You're 100% right. We would look so incredibly yes. foolish, but only in the beginning. Sewing is a learnable skill. I took sewing classes in college because I was a theater major, so we had to do costuming.
Sure.
And when you get patterns and you learn to sew, like you, I feel like we could upgrade our clothes. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I think over time we would.
I think over time we would decide that muumuus are our favorite thing to create. I guess I'm going to choose.
Growing
one
your
is so food. Much more significant to your life. I can.
Which one is more significant?
The food. I mean, that having your food is so much more significant than what you wear.
I would lose so much weight if I had to grow and create all my own food. I mean, I would eat borderline nothing. the amount of land you need
to really eat.
Yeah, like I've got a vegetable garden and I've got cilantro and tomatoes and cucumbers, and like that took up a large area, and it's like. Is that all I'm eating?
I feel like you can go pick the whole garden and get like have a meal.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
how I always
right.
feel with vegetables.
And you
got
to be planned out in advance. I mean,
oh, like crops over crops over. Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I need acres of land.
All right, I'm sewing my own clothes.
Yeah, I'll sew my own clothes, and someone will inevitably walk up. And say, what do you sew your own clothes?
the nice thing is,
yes, I do.
I do. Now you feel dumb.
The nice thing is,
you got a problem with that.
When you look stupid in your so awful shirts, you can feel at home when we are now allowed to go to McDonald's. And
I was gonna say,
man,
yeah.
Yeah, nice. I was going to say, you have a big chicken.
This episode brought to you by the McRib.
Not grown. All right, we're moving on.
Spitballers to the rescue.
So maybe you scattered a little bit around the house, and maybe you brought up some old memories. And you've moved on to the phase where, look, you need some advice. Mm-hmm. From experts, but then you don't really have access, so you go to the podcast app and you found this show. And the first question from Wendell says, what's the proper protocol for notifying a stranger of an embarrassing thing, like a visible booger or their fly is down? Or is it better to pretend like you never noticed? I'll add another one in there. Something in the teeth.
Okay? I love this question from Wendell. I love that we're giving the life advice because I want this normalized in just everywhere.
Okay.
In society.
Well, I can't wait to
normalize
hear.
It. It shouldn't be embarrassing. Like you have a everyone.
Interesting.
Everyone's got a nose, and everyone's getting boogers coming out of this nose.
True. That's
and
true.
We've all had a boog just chilling on the side of the nose, and for someone to say, "Hey, you got a booger," and you just go, "Oh, thank you for telling me, and I will take care of that."
Yeah, but
and then
not everybody's got boogers hanging out of their nose all the time. That's why it's embarrassing.
I understand you don't want it to happen. I'm saying normalize that it shouldn't be embarrassing for me to tell you.
Well,
even my friend, a stranger, just anybody.
The fly one happens a lot, where the fly is down. That happens
right.
a lot. Now, I will tell you right now, if I see a stranger with their fly down, I am going to internally laugh and not tell them about it.
Okay, so you just
100%.
So when you tell about but if it was someone who saw my fly down that was a friend of mine, I would expect them to tell me.
That's the difference in this question. This is about a stranger. Okay, so
otherwise,
if
I'm looking at a stranger's crotch.
Mike, I know if you got a boogie hanging out, you got something on your beard, you want to know. You don't take offense. You're not embarrassed. I love that, but that's because I know you and we're friends, and I can say that friendly. A stranger comes up and says your fly's down. First of all, I know a stranger just looked at my crotch.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's why I don't want to say.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, eyes up here, bud.
But they're not looking at your crotch. Their eyes were just shot down there because the garage was open.
Sure, but it's impossible for them to not have looked at my crotch and know.
Would
that
you let
my
a woman know
down.
That a button was unbuttoned?
Nope.
Well, because that's a button could be a choice, but flies on your jeans. People people aren't doing that on purpose.
But what if we start that trend?
Oh, that's
yeah. What if the fly down is like, yeah, that's a fashion choice, buddy. I'm wearing some bright boxers under here. You know what I mean? Have a nice
Oh, so you can see through
just,
it?
Just Absolutely. A little peek. Yeah.
So you've got neon. You got some neon boxers.
Yeah,
and that's
people wear their pants real low. That was a fad for a while. You got skinny jeans a fad. Let's start the
Oh,
the
and they're like,
down.
Hey, buddy, you got that? And he goes, no, it's a peekaboo-boo.
And it's a peekaboo-boo. And then the nice thing is
gosh.
You can come out with a with fashionable items for that. This
you could have a longer fly.
The peekaboo-boos don't even have zippers. That there is
it's
no.
It's just a gaping hole.
It's just a gaping
There's
hole.
There's no zipper.
Right
you can't
there.
Close it.
You can't close it.
I don't know if this is good.
Oh,
I think it's bad.
I think someone's gonna end up going yoo-hoo with a peekaboo-boo.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Yeah,
not I mean, it's street not, legal.
It's certainly not for
Mike,
high schoolers.
So Mike, who will not indulge a general elevator conversation with a person about the weather,
correct,
will tell them that there's a booger.
Yes, because
on their nose, because you want to help them.
That's not a conversation. That's not why I don't like small talk. Is because it's nonsense. We are not accomplishing anything. I don't care what you have to say. You don't care what I have to say. But if you have something on your face,
would you do a
you
shoe
definitely
tie?
Care.
Would you tell somebody their shoes untied? Do you feel like that's one that they may have done on purpose?
That could be a choice.
It's not.
What if it's only one
choice,
though?
If it's one, then they probably want to know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you can tell the people that don't tie their shoes on purpose. They usually have the it's a little bit more unlaced, and the shoelaces aren't very long, and they're not like dragging behind them.
Right.
But I think that in general, I'm going to ignore all strangers. I'm going to not tell them about anything, and I will do exactly what Andy said. I think that's the right approach. Laugh in your head, and if you do need to tell someone,
I got another one.
Tell your friend so that they can make sure they see that
they
dude
laugh.
With the fly down.
I've got another one, a little bit more imminent.
Oh no,
there's a bug on their back.
What kind of bug?
A cockroach landed on the back of a stranger. It's in front of you in line. So maybe not right in front of you, but a couple. Do you alert the person? Do you hit it off?
Yeah, you hit it off.
And then you tell the person there was a bug on you?
Yep, absolutely. Because at that point you're saving someone's life. And that's just me being a hero.
Now, okay, this is not intentionally. I'm not trying to trigger you. So just
okay.
Trigger warning, Jason.
Triggered
spider.
Untriggered.
If there was actually a 8-legged creature on your back.
On my back.
on your back.
Okay.
Do you?
Oh my gosh.
Do you actually want to know?
No.
Or do you want me to come up and take care of it?
You take care of it. Okay. You don't tell me till after you take care of business.
Do you?
Because if
do
a stranger,
you even want
so right now,
tell you?
Right now, I should take care of it.
If a stranger came up to me and said, "Hey, bud, there's a big spider on your back."
Oh golly.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I would just start screaming and spinning and taking my shirt off. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have the wherewithal to do what I should do, which is absolutely just launch myself to the ground on my back.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Squash this thing, or at least run backwards into a wall. But I'm sure. I am 100%.
Run backwards into a wall. That's your strategy. That's the silliest thing I can picture.
I am 100% positive my shirt would come off. Like if someone was like, "There's," I would take
in my, all scenarios.
In just the spider scenario.
No, but I'm like you. Like I'm saying, where you are, you're in the middle of Disneyland. You're in the middle of giving a speech.
I'm at a funeral. I mean, it's inappropriate. So, but if there's a big spider, they have to say it's a big spider.
Someone hands you your.
Oh, if they say little spider.
Yeah, then it's okay.
What if they just say that they don't use a description? It's just
a spider.
Someone hand you're giving a very important speech. Mm-hmm. Someone walks up, hands you a note card, and says, "Spider shirt."
I would assume it's a joke at that point.
I okay. need to see you immediately turn towards the wall with your back,
just body
and
slam.
Sprint backwards. I don't know how you can run backwards fast.
I would take that wall out.
Oh man!
I would hit it with such force that they will be needing new sheetrock.
All right, Tracy from the website. My wife uses the bathroom with the door open. I think that it is a private thing, but she insists that since we're married, it doesn't matter. Am I the weird one here?
Speaking of one, that's the question. Is it a one or is it a two?
Oof. Okay, that makes a difference for you?
What if
you begin
the
two when no one was in the room?
Oh, that's fine. But
and then they walk in. Do you have to close the door?
I can't. Like, yes. I mean, if I begin a two with the door open because I'm basically by myself,
yeah,
and someone walks in, that's got to be rectified immediately.
Right.
Well, it's rectified, all right. So yes, I mean that's my policy. For what it's worth, that's my policy. I don't begin a two with a public proclamation. I'll close the door.
Yeah, but now in this life advice, this isn't your choice. You're not your wife is starting to deuce. Okay, because if she's taking a pee, whatever, I feel like that's fine, right?
I mean,
you're married.
It's certainly fine.
I like it. It's fine. You're married, you know, which is the exact same argument that they are using doesn't matter either way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the policy needs to be, it's a little bit more like, what do you want to see your spouse do?
Right.
It's not a matter of seeing, though, because here's the deal. Let's say I'm in the bathroom, my wife's in the bathroom, and she's taking a pee. I can ignore her. I cannot look at her. I don't care. I can do the same with the poop, but then I smell it. That's the difference. I'm not smelling your pee from across the room. I don't want to smell
sometimes.
Yeah, drink some water.
Can I sidebar?
Sure, yeah.
What's the fan policy?
Like how many fans are like as a celebrity? How many?
No. Like,
what the? Don't get it. You were getting. That was okay. Terrible.
Yeah. It was bad. Let's say you. I just need to know this in general. See, I was raised to put the fan on while I'm pooping,
okay.
And then when I leave the room, the fan stays on because I figure there's a remnant.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Not everything's been rectified by way of smell, so the fan stays on, and then eventually someone's gonna come in and turn it off. But it's evacuated the room. Now I do know people that believe that the fan is on only during the active expulsion. And then when they depart the room, they turn the fan off.
I feel like the fan is doing its job of clearing out the air.
Yeah.
It's also a warning.
Yes.
Because if I walk up to a bathroom and the fan is on, I go, oh, this bathroom may have been dominated recently, and I want to go to the other bathroom in the house.
Or, to go, go quick.
Oh, that wasn't you, like, getting a big hit?
No, that wasn't me getting a big
hit. I thought you were getting whiff. Yeah. I thought you were like, ooh,
no,
I like
that. That was a big hold your breath moment. Oh, you smell that?
Oh,
yes. That's what you thought of me? That my default was, let's get a big whiff of that. Someone take a turn in here? Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Is that popcorn?
Whoa, man.
So here's the problem with the fan, and for me personally. My in-law's neighbor, who they're very close with, their house burned down.
No story. Okay, whoa. All right. My in-law's neighbor is not...
Yeah, that's not
that's
usually...
That's a weird story.
But their house burned down because of a bathroom fan.
Like, no.
Yeah, they left it on, and it shorted out and smoked, and their house didn't, I guess it's hyperbolic, burned down.
Caught
but
on
it caught,
fire.
It caused a fire, yeah. Smoked everything out, and it did ruin their house. They had to, like, live somewhere else for months while their house got restored. And I heard from them that was like a somewhat common. I mean, it's not super common. Houses aren't, you know, burning down all the time, but when there is a problem, it's not unheard of for it to come from a bathroom fan that's left on. So now I don't use, like, bathroom fans are off limits.
No, just paranoia.
I got you.
Yeah, I just.
I mean, people are using fans all over the world. No, nobody's burning down.
I get it,
but
it's like
the in-laws' neighbors.
Well, yeah, they you got to spend up on your fan. You can't get the cheapest fan out there.
That does cross my mind. It's like, yeah. Well, how's this room's fan look? Does that look like a nice device?
That's so funny how little things like that will get in our psyche and change our behavior.
Experience, man. If it's something you've experienced.
So wait a minute. You're just bombing your house then? What do you think happens to that methane?
It goes away.
No.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't. It
you're
just osmosis
me,
is into the regular breathing rooms.
It goes away.
You're telling
where?
Me.
Where? Where does it go?
If it goes
what do you think the fan does?
Where does the fan send it?
The fan sends it out the house, man.
Out the house?
Well, certainly no. Into the attic or something.
Yeah, that's what it does, actually. It doesn't usually go out the house.
All your old farts are in the attic,
it
man.
Literally just sends it, like, into the roof area. I had my cabin.
I feel like Al needs to speak here with authority.
What happens?
I mean,
this is a great question. I've never even considered it. Where
it should
does the
go
fan
out
go?
The house, man.
I don't think it does. I honestly don't know, but I think it just vents into the attic.
Interesting.
I mean, I had one installed. So now, I think it depends on how close to the exterior of the house your bathroom is. Because I've seen some that do blow out into nature where farts belong.
Yeah, man. Is that why attics are so awful? Is,
no.
Because it's just a fart room? It's just...
You can go up, you know, you go up in the attic to get old pictures and stuff. You can go up and see, like, old grandma's old fart from
never light a candle in the attic. That's,
that's good.
What,
that's good advice.
Good life advice. Yeah. All right, one more. Toby from Twitter. I have a coworker who every morning comes to my desks. Oh, this is perfect, Mike.
Desks?
He's very important. Real quick. So many desks.
It does seem that I was wrong, that most bathroom fans do vent to the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
I have a coworker who every morning comes to my desk and says good morning, and then just stands there awkwardly even after I say good morning back. If I turn around, I feel rude. If I try to ask questions, I get one-word answers. This is driving me crazy. How do I make them go away? So this is a lingerer. You've got you've got like a kind of a morning greeting lingerer.
There is only one way to deal with weirdos. Because make no mistake, this person in this situation right now is a weirdo. They stand, they don't talk, they're in your space, they don't know the social norms. So, you're not going to be able to do anything other than being a complete rude person saying, I hate you, get out of here, don't ever talk to me again. You're not going to do that. Your options are just deal with it or befriend them. Get to know them.
They're
have
trying.
Something more to talk about.
If I try to ask questions.
Oh, come on, pie in the sky.
Go out with them somewhere and do something with them. Go golfing together. Get to know each other because then maybe they'll open up. They want a friend and they don't know how to communicate. They don't know. They're just standing around because they feel comfortable enough to be around you. Maybe this is your best friend 2 years from now.
I like this, Jason.
Right?
I like this answer. Maybe this coworker needs a friend and they don't know how to properly engage in, because look,
you two are a couple
no.
of Liars.
No.
Neither of you are going to bat for this guy.
I am not. I just like Jason's answer.
I would never go golfing with that weirdo. I'm saying that Toby should. You go get to know them.
Think about, like,
a good fart solves this whole problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, that'll
take
care of it.
That's a pretty easy solution.
Like, as an adult, making friends is very difficult. Very, very difficult. And, like, one of the places Well, one of the places that you can actually get it done is at work. And, Toby, perhaps this person just wants a friend.
Okay, another option. What if you fight fire with fire? Go over when he comes in, stand up, and go stand nearer to him.
What, just invade the social bubble?
Invade the social
bubble.
Or go
to their desk.
No. Invade the social bubble. Just stand near them.
Okay.
These are such terrible ideas.
And then,
all right.
It's clear.
You're not saying anything.
Okay, what's the great idea,
Mr. Holloway?
Yeah, the
great idea is your bowel movements happen real close to when this man's near. You skirtled to the bathroom. By the time you come back, what's he going to do? Stand by your desk all the time? I'm starting to schedule my number twos when it's not Toby, right?
Coworker.
When Toby's coworker comes on by. I got to get another cup of coffee. First, if you want to be a friend, try to get this conversation located elsewhere. Start to have a new plan, someplace you can walk away from. That's what the water cooler's for. That's what the coffee machine's for. Let's get this away from my desk where there's no escape. Or you climb under your desk and pull the chair in.
We'll pull Costanza?
Yeah, just pull the chair in and say, I'm not here.
Toby, if you're listening, try my first method.
This is your new best friend, Toby.
And come back to me and let me know how close you have bonded one or 2 years from now. And congratulations
on
your new best friend.
Step one for you was to completely identify this person as a weirdo.
Yeah.
And then step two was, you now have to be friends with a weirdo.
Well, no, because then they're not a weirdo anymore. A lot of times...
You think weirdos are only weirdos before you unweirdo them?
I think that there are many times where you think someone's a weirdo until you get to know them. And then they're just Jason.
Toby's going to get killed by this coworker.
Oh, that is certainly in the realm of outcomes here. So you do need to be careful,
self-defense.
Toby. Yeah, like at least like a pocket knife or something.
Right. Those have saved a lot of
life.
You
always want a knife in your pocket when you go golfing.
All right.
Sliced my leg.
It's a slice.
Right. We're drafted. You guys have been very bad in this last segment. We're drafted.
The Spitballers Draft.
We are drafting the worst things to find in your food at a restaurant. So, I'm sure we all have stories of something we've found in our food.
Mm-hmm.
But we are trying to really hone in on what the worst thing would be to find inside of your food. And look, you guys have your lists and you took your different angles to it. I'm going to kick it off with what I have as the 101. And there's a lot of picks here. I don't think there's a clear 101. But this one would really, really, really be bad. It's glass.
Sure.
Oh.
I'm going with glass because you will bite it, mm-hmm. maybe break your teeth,
right.
maybe cut your mouth up. It's a foreign object. It is not edible.
You aren't going to see it.
If you swallow it,
oof.
You're going to have intestinal issues.
Even if you don't swallow it, just chomping down.
That's what I mean. Just, it has all the features of something really bad to find.
Yeah, that is awful. I mean, I've got a story that I won't say. Well, I don't want to say it in case someone picks it or whatever, but
for later tell us later.
When you chomp down on something really hard that shouldn't be there, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And this can give you a serrated bungee at the end. So off to Mike with pick number two.
I mean, the show has just been filled with this talk. I figured this was the easy number one answer.
You're gonna take the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, because it would be the absolute worst. It's poop. I mean, if you found poop in your food.
That was a bridge too far for me.
Really?
I knew it was an option for the draft, but it was a bridge too far because it just didn't seem
realistic.
Possible.
Oh, if you go out there and read the horror stories of things that people have found in their food.
Well, could be rat poop or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be
at
human.
Least Yeah, that's true. No, yeah. You're right. That it could be.
If it's
poop of any kind.
If it's a human turd, that's somebody sending a message to you.
Yeah,
they are trying to sneak it through.
Well, I was going
to
say that comes with a little bit of an alarm system potentially. When you're lifting that fork up, maybe, just maybe, you get a little Huh.
I don't think you have to lift up. You'll just see
when the plate is put in front of you, you go, oh, this is...
He just goes, that's poop.
Did you, waiter, did you take a dump on here?
Which one of you had the poop?
All right.
She did.
Jason, you have two picks.
All right.
Well, glass was mine. Poop was Mike's because, of course, somebody had to take it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And now, Jason, you don't have to take it.
I don't have to take it, but I am going equally horrific. This is a common occurrence in the movies.
Sure.
Know, this is like the
which one?
The send a message. And it would be the human finger.
Yeah. Yes.
The human finger is something I do not want to find in life. Just like, forget in my food. In my
absent
food
absent a person,
is
it
worse.
Doesn't, you know,
I don't want
to be
see
found.
I do not want to see a finger.
It's a great pick.
Unless it is attached to you. That is the only way I enjoy seeing fingers. Really love them. Really love those attached fingers. For my second pick, I am going to go with something that is probably more, it's more common than glass or
sure.
poop or a human finger. It's actually the thing that we've all run into real problems with, and it is awful. It's just so nasty, and you're done, even if it's small, even if
right.
it's just a little itty-bitty piece.
Okay.
I'm not eating anything else in there. It's going to be pubic hair.
Oh! Yeah. Oh!
I mean, well, like...
Whoa! You know,
not just the hair.
Well, no, like beard
like
hair.
Like a beard hair?
Beard hair is... Yeah, like the coarse...
A beard hair is considered pubic hair?
Yes. Yeah, you got to go through puberty before you get that hair,
yeah,
right?
Your armpit hair
Hold
is
on
pubic
a minute.
Hair.
Can I get a nod from the... All the producers knew that?
No, that's shocking to hear.
Okay.
To I would...
Shocking. Al?
Yeah, that's pubic hair.
Okay. Okay.
What? Yes. Have you ever called your beard hair pubic hair?
No,
I have.
No,
before.
And there's no person on this earth that is regularly using that term.
But
to
that's
describe.
What it is.
I understand the science. I understand it comes during puberty, but generally pubic hair
well,
is in pubic regions.
Yeah, that is.
So I'm just saying.
Well, even worse. Even worse.
Well, I yeah, that's why I was surprised. Is yeah. I thought you're
you want to find pubic hair?
I
food?
Just thought hair was maybe enough. But
yeah.
So you're saying you find a hair head, a head hair,
a coarse curly hair.
I mean, so the curl matters.
Oh, the curl matters.
So a straight hair, you're eating.
Straight hair, I would.
You
be,
just you could pick it out and move on.
I could
on.
Pick it out and
it's
eat
gross,
around it.
But
that thing's too.
What
curly.
About length? Is there a length requirement that would eliminate?
No.
What
any,
about if it's
any,
swirled into the food a little much?
Any
not just on top.
Curly coarse hair. In
we should have warned people
food.
Who were eating.
Yeah,
to not eat during this.
Well, I think the name of the draft. Worst things just, to find in.
Where do they think just, we're going, Mike? With pleasant
just,
things.
Just. Sometimes you got to put a warning out.
Yeah. So, anyways.
So, you're going pubic hair, which is a terrible thing to find.
Oh, exactly right.
I still find it humorous how disgusting we as people find foreign hairs.
Yes.
Because
it makes no sense.
There's so many things that are tangibly more disgusting and hold back tears. Like, a hair is not. I mean, if God forbid you eat a hair or an eyelash.
Yeah.
Who cares? It yes. really doesn't matter. But if I see one and it's not mine, mine's fine, of course. If I see one and it's not mine, it is like the DNA of disgusting.
And on top of that, like you not that you're out there, you know, ruffling people's hair, but you would have no problem just giving someone's hair a tussle.
Well, I mean, there's a whole industry of people that cut hair and it's not gross for them.
No. Until it's on the ground.
Yeah,
oh, on the ground. It's disgusting.
It's absolutely foul when
you get
it's
your
on
pubic
ground.
Hair cut on.
It's
is like that what you go in and say, will you trim up my pubic hair?
Yes, I'd like my
my face pubes trimmed.
My face pubes trimmed.
Yeah,
please.
You bunch of psychos pretending like that's normal.
Yeah, so
I can't wait to hear
this
you
show is
say
about
that.
Scientific
accuracy.
I know what Andy learned today.
Yeah, you betcha.
You have face pubes.
All right. So I
right,
thought this.
You're
I
back,
thought this
Mike.
Was. It's very disgusting, Jason. But I thought you were going to go with this, just a good old fashioned. Because one of the things about going to out to eat to a restaurant is you don't want to think about the kitchen because you know that they're there.
Oh no!
You know that they are there, and if a cockroach finds its way into your food, that's it. Like not only is that you're not eating there. You're not eating what's on your plate. You are probably never eating in that restaurant ever again.
That's a definite for me, probably. Well, that was Tuesday.
Well, I'll just say, like, your favorite restaurant, if that happened, it would be done.
Yeah, I've got something very similar on my list. That's obviously a big one.
Yeah, the cockroach was high on my list. Would have been my next pick, and that makes perfect sense. All right, so I have to pick two times.
Yes,
here.
You do.
I love that I threw poop out the window because it wasn't very realistic. But I've got some very unrealistic other picks on this list.
A chicken head.
That could happen.
One of them that's going to be my pick here is I'm going to need help with it because I'm literally forgetting the name of it right here.
Let's
live.
Work it.
We
out.
Got you.
We got.
Which
it.
Is when flies they lay
maggots.
Their eggs. Maggots.
Yeah.
Maggots yep. is the pick. That's yep. I don't know why I couldn't remember right then.
I was sure. I was between pubic hair and maggots. That
yes,
was
you
my,
always are.
For my pick.
Glass and maggots, and then I have another pick here.
Maggots are the most foul thing imaginable. When you
because
see
a gooey,
a maggot,
they're squirmy.
And the name is part of it.
Sure.
It's a maggot. It's so disgusting. And what's funny is, like, I feel like if there are other bugs that are, it's not as bad as, I mean,
well, there's a quantity of them, too. There's a lot. It's not
yeah,
one
yeah.
worm.
You never
there's
have one.
There's always a crew, right? They roll together.
Yeah.
And you,
it's a gang.
An entourage.
I guess the thing that really puts it over the top is that you usually don't find maggots just like, oh, flies are making babies out on the back porch.
No.
It's like they're finding a dead pigeon on the back porch, and they're making babies in that.
There you go.
Maggots.
All right, my third pick is going to be strange. it's ink.
Oh,
so I'm going with
really
ink because the idea of eating something
and then it's staining your teeth,
your entire mouth. It's like a broken pen worth of ink in your mouth.
That's funny.
It's a disaster.
That is funny.
So I will go with ink as my third choice.
I love that pick. I mean, because I can just see it, you know, it's like, especially if there's any way to hide the flavor. If you can hide the flavor enough, it's in something else, and then you're halfway through this meal just covered.
Yeah, it feels like a trick you could play for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
look at some ink.
Seasoning ink.
All right, my next pick, I'm going to go one that's a little bit more like this feels like it's got to be happening every single day across the globe, and it's a Band-Aid.
Man. Oh,
it's on my
pick.
List.
I mean,
good pick.
Look, the chef. You're working with a knife. Maybe you cut your finger and you got to put the Band-Aid on. And whoops, where did that Band-Aid go? When did I lose that thing?
That thing is so a Band-Aid anywhere is so disgusting.
Yes, it is.
It's so gross.
Think about the difference between the cleanliness of the hair, which.
Right.
I mean, we just, it's the foulest thing ever, but it's probably fine. And then a Band-Aid is only used to cover a wound that was bleeding.
You might as well have a wound in the food.
You have selected blood.
Yes.
Human cells. plastic. Sticky. That's phenomenal. Home run.
Perhaps disease.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
sure.
That's not good. All right. Jason, your final two picks.
My final two picks. I have really learned something here today. Mm. I have learned that when things become disconnected from the human body,
yes,
it gets 1,000,000 times more disgusting.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? Hair is fine until it's off your body.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Fingers are fine until it's, you know,
right.
off of a body. But it's the same with nails.
Yeah.
Fingernails?
Oh, yeah.
Toenail clippings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they call those pubic nails.
Yeah. Now, right, because they're down low.
Now, if you saw just a fully detached nail in your food, you think you would know if it was a finger or a toe?
Oh, well, you know a big toe.
Wait,
absolutely.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Are
you know, like a good thumb versus a good big toe? You think you would get that right every time?
100% of the time. I mean, if it's.
But why
it depends
does
on
it
the
make
toe.
A difference?
Because
feet are
dirtier. You
yes,
don't.
But not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
No, maybe not. I get that. But I wash my hands on a regular basis. I don't wash my feet. I mean,
How many toenails to eliminate this from contention? One?
What's that?
One toenail found in your food. And
that's done.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if you're noticing one.
I
think you might be eating... How many things like that have you eaten before?
Yeah, that is always the worry.
Okay. What's your last pick?
All right. My last pick is going to be one that you have heard about in fast food places as purposeful, as done. This is something that
I already
took
poop.
That's not actually done. People don't take a dump on your food. But you want to know what they do?
They spit in their food.
They hock a loogie
under
that bun.
It's on my list.
And put that bun right on top.
Yep.
And the thing
and
is...
And you will never know.
That's the biggest problem. But if you find any kind of snot
loogie
texture...
We got to eat here in a bit. That's the grossest one. You have went completely human-based. You have fingers, pubic hairs, toenail clippings, and loogies.
So I don't want to find people in my food. That's what I don't like. Is
people
in my
stand
food.
With the people, food with the food.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Mike has poop, cockroach, Band-Aid.
All right, and we're going to close this off with, look, if you go in the pantry, like, I'm hankering, I want to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
And you go into the pantry, you pull out the bread.
Moldy.
All you see is it just takes one piece, at least for me.
Oh, for sure.
One piece.
Oh, a fuzzy friend.
We've probably talked about this. Just the heel on the backside, it's got a little bit of mold growing on. That entire loaf of bread is going into the garbage.
Yeah, soiled. If not, all soiled.
It's all ruined. So if you, like,
mold.
And you probably aren't catching it right away. But yeah, if you find some mold on your sandwich, mold, wherever, that is...
I am very curious how much mold you can eat and it not matter. Because I think
it's probably a decent amount.
I mean, you might be able to eat mold and we're just all ignoring it.
Yeah.
You can't... No, it's not good.
Okay.
No, yeah, mold is not...
You can't just eat unlimited
mold.
What
is this, penicillin? This is good for me. If you are someone that does the rip off the cheese, rip off the piece of bread and
that's
eat,
my wife
and eat the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't want to say this directly to any human. I was just grouping them all together, but you are the worst. You need to grow up. You've got to get control of your life. I mean,
there's
unless you got that
cheese.
Bread from a bread line, you can throw that thing away
right.
because you that it's moldy.
I would if I had a block of cheese and it was under 20% and it was isolated, I'd be willing to cut that thing in half.
It's funny.
Rewind the tape and listen to what I just said.
But I know I'm with
the
Andy.
Worst.
I'm
the cheese is kind of like its own thing where it's supposed to like
bread
not
is
mold,
out.
but
cheese. If it's a block of cheese, I am able to cut off.
You need at least 2 inches of distance.
Yes. Oh, there's I go extra. There's I'm not just cutting off the mold.
No,
piece.
This is like a tumor.
Yes, you're making sure it's gone.
Yeah.
Gross.
All right.
Yeah, it's weird.
So right, Mike went with poop, cockroach, Band-Aid, and mold. My picks, glass, maggots, ink, and I'm going to close it down with something only Jason would approve of in this draft. I mean, look,
must be from a person.
If it comes from a person, it's separated from the body, it's bad. I'm going with teeth.
It's on my list.
I'm going with teeth.
Awful.
Because part of this is I'm going to break my teeth on your teeth.
Yes.
And then I'm going to say, wow, that's somebody's teeth.
If you take a tooth out of your mouth, the first thing you do is you probably...
Put it under your pillow.
That's the second thing, Mike. The first thing you do is you take your tongue and you find which tooth
right.
is missing. And when you find out, there ain't none of your teeth missing.
That's
gross.
True. That's true.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yeah, unless Al was quick to point out in our Slack that if it was 24 karat gold, maybe you made some money.
Oh, there you go.
Then you can afford to replace your broken tooth.
How are you selling that? Are you smelting that down?
I'm not familiar with selling people's teeth.
They're like, I'll give you $2.
Where'd you get the teeth? No, they never ask. They don't ask. All right.
Yeah, the
so
cool people don't care.
That was our disgusting worst things to find in your food at a restaurant draft. Were there any extras? I mean, I had
bugs just in general.
Yeah.
But you guys had roaches and
marbles
and maggots, marbles. I had for me personally a half-eaten ghost pepper. Like it's
just like it's tucked away. Sorry,
like I just see it and I realize what's in my mouth.
Why does it have to? Oh, because you ate it.
Because I ate the other half and it's about to be a real problem.
I thought about taking a good shot at tomatoes here and just saying tomatoes.
I have beets on my list.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Worst thing to find in your food, beets.
I had boogers and nails, or like finding a nail in your food.
Like a hammer.
Yeah. Not a toenail.
Not fingernails, yeah.
I had needles as well. That'd be bad. All right.
What did we learn today?
All hair is pubic hair.
Yeah.
After a certain point.
No, I mean, I've grown. Most of my hair has grown after puberty. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, fair.
All right. That's fair. I learned about the new fashion trend, the peekaboo boo. On its way to you.
Mine's far more practical that a bathroom fan actually takes the air out of the house.
See, now maybe you leave it on a little longer.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Burn that thing down.
Oh, no. If that ever happened. Wow. All right. That'll do it for today's Spitballers. Thanks for tuning in, supporting the show. Tell your friends.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.